KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's cloudy. We have rain and 59 degrees in Atlantic. We look for scattered showers and thunderstorms this morning. Partly sunny this afternoon and a high around 73. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent, Dish Network, and DirecTV. Your Verizon Wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. And taking a look at the news this morning, one of Iowa's governor's top priorities, an anti-bullying bill, is in danger of failing to pass the 2016 Iowa legislature. Representative Cecil Dolacek, a Republican from Mount Air, has been involved in one part of the debate. That is how much state money to spend to help train teachers and administrators to address bullying.
I'm not sure we're going to be able to pass bullying legislation. That's still up in the air.
And Senate Democrats have voted to spend $750,000 on bullying prevention for educators, but House Republicans have sided with their Republican governor and opted instead to spend $25,000 to conduct webinars. Those are online training sessions for educators. Governor Branstad has been asking legislators to pass an anti-bullying bill in each of the past 2 years. The governor's been asking legislators to pass a bill that would give school officials a clear authority to address bullying that occurs outside of the school, especially online. But some of Branstad's fellow Republicans object. Dolacek says many of his Republican colleagues believe administrators already have the authority to step in when a student is being bullied.
There's nothing that they can't do within a local school district to combat bullying or prevent bullying and address bullying.
In addition, many Republicans say parents have the ultimate authority over their children, and they're concerned about school officials monitoring students' activity outside of school hours. House Republicans also have pressed to have private and religious schools exempted from any anti-bullying bill, and they want a religious conscience clause included. Republican conservatives say that without that protection, students could be accused of bullying if they're expressing their religious beliefs. Members of the Iowa House and Senate are scheduled to return to Des Moines this afternoon to begin what could be the final week of the 2016 legislative session. News time is 8:03.
This is Alan Josephson from the TV Star Atlantic, your local Dish authorized retailer. You've heard about the Hopper system from Dish, but you don't know what it is. Stop at the TV Store, where we have a Hopper demo system installed for you to see how easy it is for you to experience the best in TV entertainment. We will show you how you can pause live TV, record with Primetime anytime, use AutoHop to automatically skip through commercials, and use the new Dish Explorer app to find your favorite programming. With an internet connection, you can also access your favorite apps, including Facebook. The Hopper even has Bluetooth capability, so you can listen to your programming on wireless headphones while everyone else is sleeping. How cool is that? The Hopper is more than just watching TV. Stop at the TV Store at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic to see and hear the amazing Hopper system from Dish. Record ABC, CBS, Fox, and NBC plus two additional channels. Feature must be enabled by customer. AutoHop only available for playback the next day of select primetime shows on ABC, CBS, Fox, NBC, and must be enabled by customer.
Elsewhere in the news, a new surge of volunteers has raised hope that the northwest Iowa town of Oyens can revive its ambulance service, which was discontinued in February because of a lack of crew members. The Lamar's Daily Sentinel reported that ambulance director Dan Cronin has been working to recruit new members, and his work seems to be paying off. Currently, 11 people from the Oyens area are taking a class to become emergency medical responders. Upon completion in May, those people must pass written, practical, and national registry exams. If they pass, Oyens may be able to resume its ambulance service with the creation of a new ambulance service crew in June. Authorities say a man has died after an off-road accident in southeast Des Moines. The man and some friends were riding in a wooded area south of the Des Moines River when the vehicle he was in got stuck in a pool of water Sunday evening. Fire Department spokesman Brian O'Keefe said the man went underwater while trying to free the vehicle but didn't come back up. The man's friends pulled him out of the water, called 911 just before 8 p.m. and performed CPR until paramedics arrived. But the man was pronounced dead later at Mercy Medical Center. His name was being withheld until relatives were notified. The accident remains under investigation. Authorities are investigating a body that was found lying next to a burning vehicle in West Des Moines. West Des Moines police say officers discovered the body when responding to the fire at around 6 a.m. Sunday. The body has not yet been identified. West Des Moines police are working with the city's fire department, the state fire marshal's office, the Iowa Division of Criminal Investigations, and the Polk County Medical Examiner's Office. Firefighters say they found a body of a woman as they battled a blaze in a northeast Iowa field. The Greeley Fire Department responded around 2 p.m. Sunday to the report of a cornfield fire in Oneida, which is about 3 miles south of Greeley. Delaware County Sheriff John LeClaire says investigators think the body was that of a 79-year-old woman who lived in the area. They suspect she was burning brush when the flames got out of control. An autopsy has been ordered. Her name is not being released until relatives are notified. Des Moines police say a teenager died while trying to climb onto a slow-moving freight train. Police were called to the crossing on the city's east side early Sunday and determined that a male in his late teens had been waiting with friends at a rail crossing. The teen tried to climb onto the slow-moving train and possibly to cross to the other side. Police say he fell during his attempt and was caught between the train and dragged along the tracks. His name was not released. The train operator was notified and stopped the cars while police investigated. Several rail crossings were blocked by the train through the early morning hours Sunday. A 41-year-old Iowa woman has died after a traffic accident on Interstate 80 in western Nebraska. The Nebraska State Patrol says the accident occurred around 7 a.m. Sunday, about 2 miles west of the Paxton Interchange. Patrol says a westbound vehicle driven by Charity Tugler of Nevada, Iowa, went out of control, struck a westbound semi-trailer, then crossed the median and stopped in the eastbound lanes. Kugler was fatally injured in the crash. Two passengers, Jason and Joy Kugler, also from Iowa, were hospitalized. The driver of the truck was not hurt. The accident was under investigation. Legislative leaders say they could end the session this week despite disagreements over budget bills and Governor Terry Branstad's policy priorities. They have a strong incentive to close up shop and to go home. Their daily allowance for working and living in Des Moines will run out tomorrow. Three budget bills on which there are differences are in the conference committees where lawmakers from both parties negotiate compromises. Differences still remain on a school anti-bullying bill, as we mentioned at the top of the news, and an expansion of broadband internet, but leaders say resolutions are possible. Branstad appears unfazed by ongoing criticism from Democrats about payments for secrecy and settlement agreements and other executive branch issues pursued by the Government Oversight Committee. He says his focus remains on the substance of issues, and he remains optimistic. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is now requiring hog farmers to report outbreaks of a viral disease that has spread across the country and killed thousands of pigs in the past year. Porcine epidemic diarrhea virus, or PED, has not previously been considered a reportable disease, in part because it doesn't pose a food safety or human health threat. Iowa State University veterinarian Rodney Baker says the reporting requirement may be too little, too late.
Reporting itself doesn't help us with the disease at all unless there's some action taken through the reporting process that prevents the spread of the disease.
Baker says it's not yet clear whether the department will take further action, and he says scientists still don't understand all the ways the virus can be spread, but he says a reporting requirement may improve the accuracy of loss estimates, which until now relied on voluntary reporting. The USDA now requires mandatory reporting for two strains of PED and the swine Delta coronavirus. All three are believed to have come from Asia. Baker says required reporting does increase the paper trail as hogs are moved throughout the country and could lead to a more accurate number of losses from the diseases.
It may be too little too late, but we certainly need to get this in place, knowing that these diseases have managed to get through our border, you know, biosecurity. Tells us that there's a lot of other ones out there that could affect trade.
Baker says U.S. pork producers earn 20 to 25% of their income from the export market. Since PED and Delta coronavirus don't threaten the food supply, Baker thinks USDA may have been reluctant to require reporting. For now, the reporting change doesn't call for restrictions on movement or trade. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, some 36,000 runners are expected to participate in today's Boston Marathon. It'll be the second largest field in the event's history. Many people are coming to show support for an event that last year was rocked by two bombs near the finish line, killing three people and wounding more than 260 others. This year, there are considerably more police, and more than 100 cameras have been installed along the 26.2-mile course from Hopkinton to Boston's Copley Square. Suicide bombings and other attacks across Iraq today have killed at least 19 people and wounded 36. In one suicide attack, the bomber drove his car filled with explosives into a police checkpoint in the town of south of Baghdad, killing 12 people and wounding 19. About 14 miles southeast of Baghdad, another suicide bomber struck a checkpoint, an army checkpoint, and killed 5 people and wounded 12. Elsewhere in the news, police in Fort Myers, Florida, say the driver of a car told them that she was just looking for a parking spot when her car malfunctioned and she drove into a church. The Second Haitian Baptist Church was filled with people attending an Easter concert last night when the car barreled through the church's brick outer wall and several rows of pews. Hospital officials in the area say 18 people were treated for injuries. News time is 8:10.
This is Alan Josephson from the TV Star Atlantic, your local Dish authorized retailer. You've heard about the Hopper system from Dish, but you don't know what it is. Stop at the TV store where we have a Hopper demo system installed for you to see how easy it is for you to experience the best in TV entertainment. We will show you how you can pause live TV, record with Primetime anytime, use AutoHop to automatically skip through commercials, and use the new Dish Explorer app to find your favorite programming. With an internet connection, you can also access your favorite apps, including Facebook. The Hopper even has Bluetooth capability, so you can listen to your programming on wireless headphones while everyone else is sleeping. How cool is that? The Hopper is more than just watching TV. Stop at the TV store at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic to see and hear the amazing Hopper system from Dish. Record ABC, CBS, Fox, and NBC plus two additional channels. Feature must be enabled by customer. AutoHop only available for playback the next day of select primetime shows on ABC, CBS, Fox, NBC, and must be enabled by customer.
In the funeral announcements, Shirley Lou Nissen, age 79, of Minden, died Wednesday. Funeral services for Shirley Nissen will be held today at 10 o'clock at the Minden United Church of Christ. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Jerry Lee Bice, age 52, of Des Moines and formerly of Griswold, died March the 18th. Memorial services for Jerry Bice will be today at 10:30 at the United Methodist Congregational Church in Lewis. Dune Funeral Home of Griswold has arrangements. Louise Holland, age 92, of Greenfield, died Tuesday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Memorial services for Louise Holland will be today at 1:30 at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Christopher Long, age 26, of rural Stewart and formerly of Panora, died Wednesday. Memorial services for Christopher Long will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the First Christian Church in Panora. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has arrangements. Thomas Schroyer, age 76, of Panora, died Sunday at the Guthrie County Hospital. Services for Thomas Schroyer will be Wednesday at 10:30 at the Twig Funeral Home in Panora. Herbert Hansen, age 89, of Brayton, died Wednesday. A celebration of life service for Herbert Hansen will be Wednesday at 11 a.m. at Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has arrangements. Jack Rogers, age 80, of Manning, died Friday. Funeral services for Jack Rogers will be Thursday at 10:30 at the United Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. Richard Dick Hansen, age 74, of Atlantic, died Saturday. Funeral services for Dick Hansen will be Thursday at 11 a.m. at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Charles Barrett, age 88, of Harlan, died Friday at Avoca Nursing and Rehab. Memorial services for Charles Barrett will be held on Saturday at 11 o'clock at the Lincoln Township Cemetery in Harlan. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Gladys Ocker, age 81, of Linden and formerly of Ankeny, died Wednesday. Private graveside services for Gladys Ocker are planned, and Johnson Family Funeral Home Stewart Chapel has the arrangements. Charles Chuck Brightwell, age 76, of Creston, died Sunday. Funeral services for Chuck Brightwell are pending at the Pearson Funeral Home in Creston. Carl Johnson, age 92, who's formerly of Lewis, died Saturday at the Griswold Care Center. Services for Carl Johnson are pending at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Eugene Phelps, age 76, of Bayard, died Saturday in Iowa City. Services for Eugene Phelps will be held after his wife returns from the hospital. Odie Funeral Home in Bayard has the arrangements. And Paul Douglas Doug Ludwig, age 61, of Casey, died Friday in Des Moines. Services for Doug Ludwig are pending at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Adair. The news was brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon wireless agent, and Dish Network satellite system dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.